This show is a part of the FM Podcast Network. Visit us at fmpods.com.
Welcome to Watching the Covers Flow, the podcast about covers of and by Bob Dylan. I'm your host, Ray Padgett. I write the newsletter Flagging Down the Double E's, all about Dylan in concert, and wrote the book Pledging My Time, Conversations with Bob Dylan Band Members. I also run the cover songs site Cover Me, so this podcast unites my two passions, covers and Bob Dylan music, and every episode will be either covers of Bob Dylan songs or covers of other songs by Bob Dylan. Each episode will have a topic or theme, and of course, a whole lot of music, as well as some info for me about each song. We will also publish show playlists on most popular streaming services. So if you want to listen to the full songs, you can look in the show notes to find the playlists. This show is part of the FM Podcast Network. Some shows will be free, but FM Plus subscribers will get extended and bonus episodes. If you sign up, you get all the extras from every show on the network, which includes Pod Dylan, Dylan FM, The Dylan Taunts, and others. Sign up directly in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. Welcome to Watching the Covers Flow. Today we're continuing our series of the second half of the 1980s in Bob Dylan, the years that some consider the worst of his career. Today's theme looks at covers of Bob Dylan that were in fact released during those years, the years, in this case, 1985, 1986, 87, and 88. We're looking at for great covers released then, and furthermore, I'm looking for covers that sound like the 80s. Obviously, any year you pick, there are a ton of good Dylan covers that come out. I mean, how many good Dylan covers in a year? 50? 100? So I wanted to further narrow it down. So I picked four per year from 85 through 88, looking not just for how good they are, but also how 80s they are. You know, drum machines, synths, hip-hop in a few cases. These are covers that not just happened to come out in the 80s, but had to come out in the 80s. Let's dive in. We start with four covers released in 1985. And the first of which is by a band that actually a few years later in 1990 would tour with Bob Dylan, opening for him. That band is Wire Train. They are an alt-rock group from San Francisco, though alt-rock maybe makes them sound a little edgier than they are on this song. The clear comparison here is U2, who in fact themselves would cover Bob Dylan during the period we're talking about. On Rattle and Hum in 88, U2 covered All Along the Watchtower. But I don't think that one's all that good, frankly, and I really like this one. This is Wire Train from their 1985 album, Between Two Worlds, doing With God on Our Side.
My name, it means nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from is covered in West.
Next up from 1985 is Mitch Ryder. And if you know that name, you might be thinking to yourself, Mitch Ryder, he's not an 80s guy, he's a 60s guy. He's the guy who did Devil with a Blue Dress On. If you're a Bruce Springsteen fan, he's the guy who first did the Detroit medley that Bruce has performed in concert for years. Well, like a lot of guys from the 60s, including, by the way, Bob Dylan, Mitch Ryder was clearly at a bit of a loss in the 80s, trying to stay relevant. That's the only way I can explain this version of Like a Rolling Stone, in which he brings in hip-hop and funk, he brings in synths and drum machines, really all sorts of things that an old rhythm and blues singer from Detroit probably has no business using. Looking this up, I discovered that this was produced by none other than Don Was, who would go on to produce Under the Red Sky in 1990. Kind of makes you wonder if Bob Dylan had heard this version of Like a Rolling Stone, he produced for Mitch Ryder if Bob Dylan would have given him the keys to the studio like he did. This is one of those that I think it's probably mostly good in sort of a novelty way. I don't know that I would go to the wall defending its artistic merits, but I find it extremely fun, and you can't deny it is very 80s. Just a quick reminder, there is a Watching the Covers Flow playlist with full versions of all or most of these songs available on most major streaming services. Find the link in the show notes. Next up, we've got one of my favorite bands, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. The song they're doing is Wanted Man, so in a way it's a cover of a cover, because this was the song that Bob Dylan wrote for Johnny Cash, and Cash put it on his At San Quentin album. When Cave recorded this dark and menacing cover for his second album with the Bad Seeds called The Firstborn Is Dead, he actually got permission from both Cash and Dylan to change the lyrics and add a bunch of his own, a bunch of very Nick Cave-esque lyrics, my favorite of which is a new verse, "If the devil comes collecting because he doesn't know I'm a wanted man, he better wear a six gun on his hip and hold another in his hand."
Wanted man in Eldorado. This wanted man's in great demand. If you hear that catch me sleeping, just see the price flash above my head. Take a look again, my friend. That's a gun pointed at your head. Wanted man by Lucy Watson. Wanted man by Jesse Brown. Wanted man.
Our final cover of 1985 comes from a group called The Rave Ups, and when I looked them up on Wikipedia to see who they were, the first thing it said is that their claim to fame is appearing in the 1986 John Hughes movie Pretty in Pink, and I don't know how much more 80s cred you need than being in Pretty in Pink. They were not just on the soundtrack, they were actually in the movie playing in a concert scene. They did not unfortunately do this song, but it is actually from the same album as the song they did do, their 1985 debut album recorded while they were all working in the mailroom at A&M Records and borrowing the label's studio time on off hours. This is their version of You Ain't Going Nowhere. When I was whittling down the many Dylan covers to come out in the late 80s to pick which 16 I would play on this episode, I ranked them according to two scales. The first was how good they are, obviously. The second was how 80s it is. And this next track is the only of all of these that I gave a 10 out of 10 on the how 80s scale. The group is called Whack Attack. I mean, right there, Whack Attack. What other decade could that have happened in? They only released a couple singles, as far as I can tell. They were a kind of a soul hip-hop group from Philadelphia. They went full Run DMC on this version of Subterranean Homesick Blues. It is absolutely wild. It sounds absolutely like, you know, 80s sort of early hip-hop hitting its popularity. Subterranean Blues, sometimes it's called the first rap song, so it's a pretty good choice to do this with. It's hard to not smile or potentially laugh while hearing this, though honestly, in addition to being absurdly 80s, I actually think it's pretty good. So here is Whack Attack doing Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Look out, kid! I said, look out, kid! Look out, kid! I said, look out, kid! Kid.
Now we'll shift gears into something a little more broadly palatable. It's still plenty 80s, but maybe not just that much of an extreme. This is the long-running Tucson group Giant Sand. Perhaps of interest to the sort of people listening to this, this is the group where Winston Watson, Dylan's 90s drummer, honed his chops. When I interviewed Winston for my book, he actually compared Dylan to Giant Sand. I just looked up the quote. Howie Gelb is the long-running leader of Giant Sand, and Winston told me, quote, I had initially played with Howie in the 80s, which kind of prepared me for the unpredictability of Dylan in the 90s. The two of them, they were parallel. They're very prolific, they're very idiosyncratic, and they're really special. They're the kind of people that come around every once in a while, and you take note. This version of All Along the Watchtower by Giant Sand, unfortunately, I looked it up, Winston is not the drummer on. He wasn't with them right at this moment, I guess, but it's still really good, so here's Giant Sand doing their version of Watchtower. I always find it refreshing to hear any version of Watchtower that does not devolve into a Jimi Hendrix wannabe solo fest. And I should add, the album that came out on in 1986 was called Ballad of a Thin Line Man. So there you go, another Dylan nod right there. This next artist is more associated with the 70s than the 80s. His name is Luther Ingram. In 1972, he had a number one R&B hit with If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Wanna Be Right. And a slight Dylan connection, he also co-authored the classic Respect Yourself, which was a huge hit for Mavis Staples and the Staples Singers. But of course, this cover comes from the 1980s, 1986. It has gotta serve somebody. And honestly, overall, it could come from the 70s in terms of his vocals, in terms of the backing vocals, in terms of the most of the instrumentation. The one extremely 80s touch is they went all in on one of those 80s drum machines, which makes it unmistakably from this era. So here's Luther Ingram with Gotta Serve Somebody.
Might be an ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble,
you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a young socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a rock and roll addict.
Just a quick reminder, there is a Watching the Covers Flow playlist with full versions of all or most of these songs available on most major streaming services. Find the link in the show notes. Our final cover from 1986 comes from the Boston punk band Nervous Eaters. They did a version of The Times They Are A-Changin' on their 12-inch Hot Steel and Acid. Just to make the song extra punk, I guess, they changed one subtle lyric. The original is, of course, "For he that gets hurt will be he who is stalled." Nervous Eaters' version, just to make it angrier and punkier, goes, "For he that gets killed will be he who is stalled." Halfway through here as we enter 1987, and we're going to kick it off with maybe the best known cover on this entire list, and maybe the best cover on this entire list. This is Susie and the Banshees doing This Wheel's on Fire. Susie didn't even know this was a Bob Dylan song when they decided to cover it for their covers album Through the Looking Glass. She knew the Julie Driscoll version, which was a hit in the late 60s. In an interview, Susie said, quote, "I had the hots for Julie Driscoll. I can't remember when this originally came out, but I'd have been about 11. I thought she was incredibly beautiful, very spiky and strong and tough, not at all cute and cuddly and feminine, and I loved the song. It conjured up all sorts of fantastic stories to me." Later on in that interview, she jokes that when she actually realized it was Bob Dylan, she'd almost canceled them recording it. Quote, "I nearly said, let's not do it. I hate him," she said. And frankly, I think that's sort of a recommendation for the Art of the Cover song. She thought she didn't like Bob Dylan for whatever reason. Maybe it was the voice. Maybe it was how everyone puts him on a pedestal, you know, the usual stuff. Well, it turned out she did like Bob Dylan. She just hadn't heard him or one of his songs in the right context. So here's Susie and the Banshees doing This Wheel's on Fire. And if you go back and compare it to that Julie Driscoll version, even though it's very different, Julie Driscoll's is sort of glossy 60s pop and Susie and the Banshees is gothy post-punk, you can hear the similarities in the cadence and perhaps most notably on the fact that in the chorus, both of them don't say this. It's just Wheels on Fire.
Unpack all my things and sit before it gets too late.
Next up in 1987, we go to the LA punk band X. Some Dylan fans may know X's John Doe from, among other things, his great version of Pressing on the I'm Not There soundtrack. But this much earlier Dylan cover really is all about the singer Xene Cervenka, who just, kind of like Susie Sue we just heard, just belts the hell out of Positively 4th Street. This wasn't released on an album or anything. This was just a 45-inch single, but of course it's on YouTube.
Your position and your place, but don't you understand? It's not my problem. Well, I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes, and for just that one moment I could be you. I wish that for just one.
I'm going to have to break one of my own rules on this next song. You remember how earlier I said I had two metrics when I was evaluating which of these to include? One was how good it was on a scale of 1 to 10, and one was how 80s it was? Well, this next one scored a 10 on the how good scale. However, on the how 80s it is scale, I gave it a 0. It's not 80s at all. My rule was to try to do things that sounded vaguely 80s, and this is not one of them, but it is so good that I have to include it. It's Richie Havens, and I guess the 180s thing about this song is that it came out in the 80s, the original version, that is. He did License to Kill. Only a few years after Dylan himself released it on Infidels, Havens did this amazing solo acoustic version on his 1987 album. Richie Havens sings Beatles and Dylan.
Thinks he rules the universe, and he can do with it as he pleases. And if it doesn't change soon, he will. Man has invented his doom. First step was touching the moon. There's a woman on my block. And she sits there in a cold chill. She says, who's gonna take away his license to kill?
All right, for our last 1987 track, let's go back to a song that actually sounds like the 80s. This is by the band Luxuria. They were a British duo, sort of a side project of the singer Howard Devoto, who was better known from being in the Buzzcocks and Magazine, alongside the instrumentalist Norman Fisher Jones. And for their debut single in 1987, on the B-side, they put this version of She's Your Lover Now. I can't figure out how they knew this song, because the official Dylan version wouldn't get released for another 4 years until that epic first volume of the bootleg series, so they must have known this through an actual bootleg or something. Nevertheless, it's an amazing post-punk rocking version of She's Your Lover Now.
Yes, and you, I see you're still with her. That's fine, but she's telling us so strange, can't you? She's yours.
We enter the home stretch now with our final year of covers. These were all released in 1988. First up, Bruce Springsteen, The Boss. On August 1st, 88, he released an EP called Chimes of Freedom. I probably don't need to tell you which Dylan song he covers on that. It was released to promote a big fall tour that Amnesty International was putting on, an all-star tour. It's a great classic E Street Band type arrangement featuring Roy Bittan's chimey piano, and it was recorded live in Stockholm that same summer, July 3rd, 1988. If you go on YouTube, you'll see some later versions from that year. It became sort of the grand finale of that Amnesty International tour, where it's not just Bruce singing it with the E Street Band, but there's Sting, there's Bono, there's Yusuf Ndour, there's Tracy Chapman. It's a really fun video. That being said, when you have that many stars singing a song like this, it does come off a little weird, the world. So just in terms of listening, I do prefer the version with just Bruce on the Chimes of Freedom EP. Here it is.
Listen for the refugees on their unarmed road of flight, and for each and every underdog soldier in the night, we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. Well, in the city's mounted furnace, unexpected.
Next up, we've got the Dream Syndicate. They recorded Blind Willie McTell, a version that's sort of half post-punk and half The Doors, as a UK-only flexi-disc, a 7-inch that came with a magazine called Bucket Full of Brains. But here's the most interesting thing about this cover. If you've been following the chronology, we're in 1988 right now. Bob Dylan did not release Blind Willie McTell until 1991 on that first bootleg series. Meaning this version, on some random 7-inch in a UK music magazine, was actually the first ever released version of Blind Willie McTell. What a bizarre way for this classic song to make its official debut. The Dream Syndicate's frontman Steve Wynn had heard it on a bootleg that a TV show host in Germany played him, and he decided he wanted to cover it. But because it had not been properly released, he needed to get the permission of Bob Dylan and or the Dylan office. That's just one of the things with covers. If it's been released, you can cover it. You just got to pay a little money. If it hasn't been released, you actually need them to say, okay, you can record it. So the Dream Syndicate record their version. Steve sends it off to Dylan HQ, and the publisher gives its thumbs up for them to release it. Steve said he always imagined that Dylan himself had heard their version, but usually that's not the way these things work. The publishing company just says, yeah, that's fine, whatever, give us some money. But let me read you this now. Steve, in 2020, told this story about the cover, and I'm going to quote him here. Flash forward 30 years. I'm at the Beacon for a Bob Dylan show and ended up backstage after the gig. I met Bob's manager, Jeff Rosen, and said, you know, my band The Dream Syndicate was the first to record Blind Willie McTell. He responded, yes, I know, your request came to me when I was running the publishing company. I played it for Bob and told him, see, Bob, you should have released this song. So who knows, maybe The Dream Syndicate's cover ended up playing some small role in getting it included on the first bootleg series a few years later.
Oh, well, I heard that Roadhouse singing as they packing up the tent. Got their feathers well, and they know no one can sing the blues like Blind Willie McTell. All right. Mm-hmm. plantation burning.
Next up, we've got a real obscurity. This is a cover of I Shall Be Released by the South African group Friends First. Friends First only released one album, and only in South Africa. It was called Another Friend in Another City, and it included this cover, half of which is sung in Zulu, the traditional South African language, and the other half of it is sung in English. And of course, this was a fairly politically charged song to be singing in South Africa in 1988. This is near the end of apartheid, but not quite at the end. Nelson Mandela is still in prison. So here is Friends First doing Tula Sizwe, that's the Zulu version, / I Shall Be Released. We've got one final song for this episode, one last entry from 1988, and I've saved the biggest for last. Well, sort of. Earlier I said that Susie and the Banshees, This Wheel's on Fire, is probably the best known cover I'm going to play today. And that was true, but only on kind of a technicality, because the last song, first released in 1988, is way better known than that one, just not in this version. In 1988, Guns N' Roses released a Japan-only EP called simply EP, and it included the first time they released Knockin' on Heaven's Door. This is not the version that became famous. That wouldn't come for a few more years. That one came out on the soundtrack to Days of Thunder, and then on Use Your Illusion in 91, at which point it became massive. This version, only released in Japan on an extremely obscure EP, did not become famous, but 1988 still becomes the year that some people, at least those in Japan, could hear Knockin' on Heaven's Door by Guns N' Roses. So, to close us out, here is that very early, lesser-known live version from 1988 of Knockin' on Heaven's Door. That's it for this episode of Watching the Covers Flow. I'm Ray Padgett. If you want more from me, you can find my writing on Dylan Concerts at flaggingdown.com. And we'll be back soon with more Dylan covers. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. This show is a part of the FM Podcast Network. Visit us at fmpods.com.